And I thought, what am I thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for all of God's blessings. And, you know, how do you just narrow it down? And I think behind those treasures in heaven, there are the categories that we've been looking at of God's blessings. And one of the things that I am most grateful for is His providence. And I think you'll find out why. And I think you'll appreciate and be thankful for His providence even more so before you leave here this morning. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, about the middle of the verse, God says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Missionaries from Tibet were on their way into China. The first caravan that came to take them to their destination just cost too much. After the missionary got a little irritated with the leader of the caravan for how much he was charging them, the wife got irritated with her husband for getting irritated with the caravan leader because she said, just pay the man and let's go. She wanted to leave. She wanted to get to their destination. But the missionary didn't want to pay the fee because he thought that it was too much. The next caravan wouldn't be coming until later, perhaps even weeks later. And so the missionary is in this dilemma. Do I pay what this man is asking, even though I think it's too much? Or should we wait for the next caravan and hopefully not pay quite so much? Finally, the missionary leader, after bouncing it around in his mind, decided, we're not taking the caravan. We're just not going to take it. We're going to wait for the next one to come. Little did they know that they would have to live in a dung hut. The hut was made out of cow manure. Little did they know that they would have to live in this smelly place for one full month. The wife was irritated with her husband. She was also getting quite upset with God. God, you brought us to this place, and now look at this. You know, we have to live like this. It smells. It stinks. Well, the next caravan finally came. They loaded all their stuff on that caravan and away they went. A few days into their journey, the whole caravan suddenly came to a stop. Everybody was staring at the path ahead of them. I'll let you know what they saw at the end of the message today. We are talking about windows. The windows of heaven are those things that become accessible to our lives. All that heaven has is open to you. These are heaven's treasures. Certainly one of the greatest treasures is God's providence. Providence, divine provision based on divine foresight. Divine provision based on divine foresight. The word providence itself means to see or to see ahead. The difference between providence and prophecy is that although both can see ahead, God in His providence can do something to change the situation. He can change the things that are ahead. Prophecy is just seeing what lies ahead, but providence is seeing and having the ability to change what lies ahead. Only God has this capability. I'm going to mention a few things about providence this morning. First of all, providence is providing for you and I the things that we cannot see or bring together. God providing for you and I the things that we cannot see or the things that we could not bring together for ourselves. Sometimes we run into things that we cannot change, even though sometimes we would like to change those things. Sometimes we run into things that we don't understand. This is God. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He works all things according to the counsel of His own will because He is God. He can work out things in our life and we can walk with confidence. God's providence is at work in your everyday life. Just ask Terry Schaefer. One September, she was shopping in Moline, Illinois. She knew what she wanted to get for her husband for Christmas. It cost $127.50. This would be a huge jolt to their budget. And she finally was brave enough to ask, "What about putting this aside for me? Maybe I could pay a little each week, then pick it up a few days before Christmas." "Nah," the merchant said, I won't do that." Then he smiled. "I'll tell you what, I'll gift wrap it for you right now, and you can take it today, and you can make payments on it." Terry was elated, agreed to pay so much every week, and left explaining how happy her husband would be. Then came Saturday, October 1st. Terry's husband, Patrolman David Schaefer, was working the night shift, responded to a robbery in progress. David arrived in time to start the pursuit. Three blocks later, the getaway car stopped. David carefully approached the vehicle with his weapon drawn. Suddenly, the door flew open, and the thief fired a .45 caliber round into David's abdomen. When Terry found out about the news, she was glad that the shopkeeper made her a deal, that she had went ahead and given her husband the present early, because if it had not been for her Christmas gift of a bulletproof vest, her husband would not have been alive. Luck? Coincidence? These Christians saw it as God's providence. Number two, providence is to believe that God has a divine plan for the universe. To believe that God has a divine plan for the universe. It's not accidental. Creation is not accidental. You just didn't happen to be born and live here. Man, is what is happening in the world today, what is happening in all the arenas of life, is under God's hand. I have a little video clip for you this morning. An illustration, accidental masterpiece. Does that make sense? Bunch of things just be brought together and create a beautiful masterpiece, something that we appreciate and enjoy. This world in which we live was no accident either. There was a divine architect, a divine planner, a creator. And the creator has a purpose and a plan for his universe, for his world. Some people think the doctrine of creation isn't really that important. Who cares how we got here? Evolution, creation, it doesn't matter. But it is one of the most important things. Did God create the world or not? We believe that, yes, God did create the world. Yes, God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that God initiated this. We believe that in the beginning, God created. Yes, we believe that God is the one who's behind this and that the universe didn't happen by chance. To not believe in creation is why some people will worship the creator or the creation and not the creator. It's why some people throw away human life. They don't believe that God is a sovereign God who is the creator and controller of all that we see. Number three, providence is when God reaches down and begins to move in your life to set the stage for things to happen. God begins to strategize, to bring all the loose ends together and to begin to tie them together so that there are purposes for your life and things begin to happen that you cannot do for yourself. Personal providence is that God has a plan and purpose for my life, for your life, and He is working all things in harmony to fulfill my God-ordained destiny. John Wesley's father, Samuel, was a dedicated pastor. But there were those years in his parish where people didn't like him. And on February 9th, 1709, a fire broke out in the parsonage at Epworth. It's thought that possibly one of the church parishioners set it on fire themselves. Young John was not yet 6 years old at the time. He was standing on an upper floor of the building. Two neighbors rescued him just seconds before the roof cashed in. One neighbor stood on the other's shoulders and pulled young John through the window. Samuel Wesley said, "Come, neighbors, let us kneel down. Let us give thanks to God. He has given me all my 8 children. Let the house go. I am rich enough." John Wesley often referred to himself as a brand plucked out of the fire. In later years, he often noted February 9th in his journal and gave thanks to God for His mercy. Samuel Wesley labored for 40 years at Epworth, saw very little fruit, but consider what his family accomplished. Was it luck that saved John Wesley? Was it God in His providence? Because He had a plan. He had a purpose for his life. While we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, we believe that God created us. God created you. God created individuals with a purpose. We are valuable. We are strategic. We are God-placed and we are God-ordained. God knew us before we were born. God has orchestrated our life. You are not here by chance. You are not here by chance. God has a purpose, and God is going to fulfill that purpose in your life if you work with Him, if you cooperate with Him. And that is a truth that we need to live with. God has a plan. God has a purpose, and God is going to fulfill that purpose in your life. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." You see, I'm not in charge of my own life. I'm not the only person with my hands on the steering wheel. I'm not the only person that is making all my decisions. And this is so freeing. I don't have to live with an overload of stress that I might make a right when I should have made a left, or I might make a left when I should have made a right, and then I have to pay for all the consequences of that wrong decision because I really didn't know how important that decision was going to be in my life when I had to make it. Now, obviously, you are responsible to make good decisions, and you are responsible to use common sense, but sometimes there are decisions in life that are not quite so obvious. Decisions that we struggle with, that we wrestle with, we really don't know what to do. We really don't know what God's will is in the matter. Sometimes there are decisions in life that we really just don't know how to make. We don't know if this decision that we make today, we don't know how it's going to play out 10 years from now. You can't possibly predict everything into your future. But what do? You cast yourself on the lap of the Lord Jesus Christ. You surrender your life to Him. And even though you have all kinds of plans, and we all do, the purposes of the Lord, that will stand. He will do what is best for us because He cares for us and He wants what's best for us and He's loving us and He's working out all things together for our good, even though we can't see Him working. That's good news. You're a little quiet this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's good news." I mean, this is good news. And this is all we have to do is stay righteous. Stay righteous. Stay right with the Lord, and you can't miss out. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them." Every day, stay right. Every day, just live with God, walk with God, obey Him to the best of your ability, stay in His Word, read His Word, stay in prayer, and God will direct you in the right path. Proverbs 16:9. "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." The idea is that man proposes, but God disposes. Man does the thinking, but God does the driving. I have a goal. I have desires. I can imagine. And God sees the mistakes that I would make. And so God redirects me down another route. Or God makes my steps go a different way. You know, the steps of God, they're not always in a straight line. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes God draws a straight line with crooked steps. There are some times when it looks like we're stepping to the side, we're stepping backwards even. We don't understand that certain things have to cross. A certain relationship has to be established. A certain business deal needs to be made. A spiritual event has to take place. But something is going to happen in your life at some church service or some Bible seminar or conference or some Bible study or just in talking to some person. You don't know that God is directing your steps to fulfill those purposes. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 6, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. You are this. Let's illustrate this. Dan, my son Dan, can you come up here? I need somebody I can move around without too much work. I think I can handle it. Yeah, Dave, no, you stay there. I'm hot. Okay, Dan has plans, he's got desires, but God directs his steps. And so, Dan, you see this goal out there, you see this desire. And by the way, if you are right with God, he places his desires in your heart. So your desires become his desires. So Dan, there's that desire out there. Would you just start walking toward it? You know what our tendency to do is to walk our own way. And we all do that. We all are prone to wander. And so God has to make sure that we're on the right steps. Try to go off a different way, Dan. Try to walk over there. Well, let's try a little harder. I'm a little stronger. Okay? Righteousness is directing his way. Righteousness is keeping him on his path. But sometimes the path is going to slide over here because there's somebody over here that Dan needs to meet. Maybe the path will take you over there because there's a church service that Dan needed to be at because there was a word from God that came from the preaching or the teaching that day that he needed to hear. And so God directs his steps. Even though it seems like sometimes he's going sideways, sometimes he might be going backwards, God's still going to help him get to that destination. Righteousness keeps him on the right path. And as long as he's righteous, as long as he's on the right path with God, he's going to make it to his destination. God's purposes, God's plans are going to be fulfilled in his life. But what happens if Dan decides, I'm not going to have any of that? I'm not going to have it God's way. I'm going to do things my way. And I know he wants me to do this, but I want to do this. And so Dan starts walking off in this other direction. You know what it says? It says, wickedness comes and throws him down. The wickedness of the wicked will throw them down. And so we all have a choice this morning. We can stay on the path that's marked right, on the path that God has for us, with Mr. Righteousness directing us, orchestrating our life, or if we could go our own way and we'll find out that wickedness, our own wickedness, will throw us down to the ground and we'll be defeated and we'll wash out and we won't fulfill the purposes and the plans of God for our life. Thanks, Dan. Let's give him a hand. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordained by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now here's what people want to see. People want to see down the road a ways. We'd like to see what's going to happen 5 years down the road. We want to see what's going to happen 10 years down the road. We want to see what's going to happen if I make this decision this way or that way. I'd like to see what's going to happen 20 years from now. But it doesn't matter how high you climb, how high you try to get, you're never going to be able to see that far down the road. So you have to trust God because God says that he will direct your steps. He will lead you. He will guide you every step of the way. But you're just not going to be able to see all the plans that God has for your future. But I am saying that if you walk with God and keep right with God every single day of your life, God's providence will work out all things for his purposes, and Mr. Righteousness will keep him who is upright in the way. You know that what is backward for us is forward to God, can be? You look at Joseph. He has this dream that his brothers and his family are going to bow down and worship him. Every step was a step backwards until finally he is second in charge of all of Egypt. Until he's sitting in the throne room in Pharaoh's kingdom. Every step was a step that he would not have chose for himself, but it was a step that was ordained by God. In your life, I just want to encourage you this morning that God has ordained your steps and God is working those things out. And although some things that happen might be confusing to you, they are clear to God. What is hurtful to you may be fruitful to God. What seems disastrous to us may be the best thing that could ever happen to us. Things that we wouldn't choose for ourselves, but they are God's will and God directs our steps to fulfill His purpose. Then there are cultural counterfeits to personal providence. And I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but I think that we just kind of understand. I'm not really trying to step on anybody's toes here this morning with these, but I want you to think about these. Cultural counterfeits to personal providence. We live in a time when there is a fatalistic, humanistic ideology for living. The kind of thinking that removes the supernatural from the everyday realm of life. There's this thinking that things happen by accident. You need to be careful of cultural counterfeits that run parallel to providence. We use some of these playfully, even just kidding around. One such word is fate. Life is controlled by unseen and uncontrollable events. Whatever happens, happens. It's just fate. Fate. One of the catchwords of our day is whatever. How many of you have heard that word? Whatever. If it's something is too complex to deal with, we just say, whatever. Somebody comes to us and it's something that we don't want to deal with at that moment, we just say, whatever. Whatever happens, whatever you want to do, whatever. Another word is luck. Certain things seem to happen to certain people and we say, aren't they lucky? In reality, they're not lucky. They've developed their skill. They built their character. They worked hard. They've been blessed by God. It wasn't luck. There was preparation. There was guidance. There was discipline. You know, we look at one of these guys that are big and muscular and say, isn't he lucky he gets to play football? It isn't luck. He weighs 350 pounds, works out every day, bench presses more than his own weight. Even if I wanted to be lucky, I'm not going to get that lucky. I don't have the ability, the body, or anything else to be that lucky. Serendipity. Wrong concept. Says life is an accident of good things falling into your path. In the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as luck and fate and serendipity. Another word we use is chance. Life is just a roll of the dice. It's accidental and unpredictable. Not in God's word. Number four, providence begins with a person who loves God. He works out all things for good to those who love God. If that's not in place, then everything won't work out for good. Life is driven by God, and He is anything but fatalistic luck and any of these other things. But He responds to people who love Him. Can you imagine going to prayer, and as you're praying, God just says, whatever. But God, I really have a decision here, and I need your help. Whatever. Just do what you want. Just do something. Get on with your life. Rick, just make a decision. Whatever. Whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter to me. Go ahead. Can you imagine God doing that? The Bible doesn't say just give this a chance and you might luck out. You might just luck out and find the steps of the Lord. It uses words like guide, direct, lordship, bring about, work together. It uses words to describe a bigger person working on my behalf and who has the power to bring all things together. I serve not a philosophy or a state of mind, but I serve a living God. How about you? And He is not like you. He is not like me. He has the ability to do this with a billion people all at one time. He has the ability to make a trillion different things work together in your life, and they come together in one clear picture. Why? Because God is not limited by time and space. He is not naturally limited. He is God, and we serve Him, and that's why He doesn't serve us. How many times we say, I believe because God is in control. We come up against a desperate situation. Something happens in the world. We say, I don't understand, but I do believe that God is in control. Do you really believe it? Can you in faith say God is in control? And will you choose an attitude that says all things work together for my good because I love God and I'm called according to His purposes? Is that you? Are you a person who loves God? Because God cares about every single detail of your life. I will do my best to serve Him and know that God will bring His purposes about. Number five, providence flows from a biblical idea of God who is personal. God loves me. God works for me. God cares for me. God listens to every prayer that I pray. God bottles up every tear I shed. He is my Father. Through Christ, I have a relationship with God as my Father. And you know what? He will give me good counsel. He will never, ever lead me astray. He is a Father God who guides me and gives me counsel all through my life, every part of my life. God in His providence upholds and sustains His creation by His word. When I don't have the resources, God steps in with His, even able to create something out of nothing. He uses miracles to fulfill our purposes because He has the ability to do so. The year was 1772. One of the most dense fogs had settled down over the city of London. In a dismal flat in the heart of the crowded East End, a man stood gazing into the fireplace. Then suddenly, overcome by emotions of discouragement, gripped by fears that he could not name, he threw his cloak about him and walked resolutely toward the door. He turned the key and walked out into the night. Carefully, he groped his way across the pavement and felt for the iron horse's head and the ring of the hitching post. Then, guided by the curbstone, he made his way to the nearest corner, where he knew a horse-drawn cab was always waiting. He opened its door and ordered the driver, "To the Thames River, sir." For in his deep depression, there seemed no way out but to jump from the bridge. It should have taken 15 minutes, but after an hour and a half of negotiating the dark and foggy streets, they realized they were hopelessly lost. In desperation, he decided to walk and paid the fare to the driver. But as he alighted, his arm struck a familiar object. It was the iron horse's head of the hitching post that was so familiar to him. After an hour and a half of fitful wandering, he had winded up in front of his own house. So impressed was he that he climbed the stairs to his flat, lighted the lamp, and knelt to ask God to forgive him for what he thought to do. And then, in that same room that had so just recently been overcome with such gloom, he wrote these immortal words that have become a hymn. God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break. In blessings on your head, His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. It was William Cowper who learned something of the wonder of God's providence that night. I would like you to draw your all attention to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I've alluded to this verse. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." The eye of faith recognizes God's intervention, while other eyes fail to see. The eye of faith realizes that not everything is as it appears. Even though things might get twisted around, you have to come back to the providential stance, believing that God has been working all the time on your behalf. I'd like to leave you with seven faith builders when it comes to providence. You might want to write these down. Seven faith builders when it comes to providence. Number one, the faith builder of knowing with absolute certainty. The faith builder of knowing with absolute certainty. What does Romans 8:28 say? And we guess. And we surmise. No, and we know. We know. We have this confidence. We know that all things work together for good. The second one is the faith builder of knowing that all is of God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I did a little study in the Greek on that word, all things. So it says all things work together for good. I thought, surely it can't mean all things. It has to mean just some of the things. So I did a study in Greek. You know what I found out that the word all things, those words all things means? Means all things. Everything works together for good for those who love God, called according to His purpose. Now, it doesn't mean that God is the initiator of bad things, but it does mean that God can bring good out of it if we respond to it in the right way. Number three, the faith builder that God is the orchestrator of my life. Behind the scenes, the natural or supernatural, God has the capacity and the power to orchestrate. He is the designer. He is the architect. Number four, the faith builder that anything can be beneficial. Anything can be beneficial. Joseph in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 says this to his brothers, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Beneficial. God meant this for it to be beneficial. "To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." He's spared my life. He's spared your lives. He has spared the lives of all of these people. That was a pretty beneficial thing. Number five, the faith builder that loving God activates purposeful providence. Loving God activates personal providence in your life. Number six, the faith builder of knowing that we are in a partnership. We are in a partnership. Because I'm called, God is working for me. God is working for me, around me, and through me. He's lining up all things because of my calling. My calling is unto Him. And number seven, the faith builder of knowing we can live in harmony with destiny. They work together for good according to His purpose. That's your destiny. His purpose. Leave you with a couple of illustrations. John chapter 1, or Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." There's a little word that's used twice in that verse. The word is before. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. The word before leads us to believe in God's providence. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." God says, you know, this thing with Saul, it didn't catch me by surprise because I've already begun to raise up the next king. I have already provided a king for this nation. I've already provided a king for me. And so as Samuel went out there to anoint, he finds David's brothers. God says, I haven't chosen any of those. He said, "Do you have any other brothers, sons, Jesse? He says, "Yeah, I have one. Go get him." When David comes, they anoint him. He has been the chosen one. Now, I think it's comforting to know that the same God who saw Jeremiah and David sees you. The same God who worked out all things for good with Joseph is the same God that is working for you. God has not changed. He's still the same. He still works in the lives of His people. He still has plans, He still has purposes, and He still orchestrates them to bring about His divine pleasure. Missionaries from Tibet were on their way to China. First caravan came to take them to their destination, cost too much, and the missionary got a little irritated with the leader of the caravan. The wife got irritated with her husband for getting irritated with the caravan leader because she wanted to leave, but the missionary didn't want to pay the fee because he thought it was too much. The next caravan wouldn't be coming until much later. Finally, the missionary decided and announced, "We are not taking the caravan." Little did they know they would have to live in a dung hut until the next one arrived 1 month later. The wife, irritated with her husband, irritated with God. The next caravan finally came. They packed up. They went their way. A few days into the journey, the whole caravan came to a stop. Everybody was staring at the path ahead of them. They were staring at the other caravan. They were all frozen. People were frozen on their camels. Even the dog was frozen standing up. They had been hit by a weird blizzard that literally froze them to death in their tracks. Every person and animal were dead. How many think the wife had a different attitude now? The couple probably fell on their knees and thought, we're only seconds away from death. We were only to reach into our pocket, pull out the money, and give to the caravan leader away from death. They came close. And the struggle that missionary had, this is too much money. Should we pay the man? Should we wait? Should we go now? Should we wait? Who knows when we'll leave? All these thoughts going through his mind. You know what I think? I think God whispered in that missionary's ear and said, "This is too much money. You better get a little irritated here. He's asking for too much money." God whispered into his ear and said, "I think you ought to wait for the next caravan. Don't take this one. It costs too much." Should we go? Should we just bite the bullet, pay what he's asking, and leave? Or should we keep our money where it is? Listen to the still small voice. Obey that voice. Do what the voice says. The missionary says, "We'll wait. We'll wait." God directed his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord directs them. Providence. Providence. Why do you believe in providence? Why do you follow providence? Because you just don't know. You just don't know. But God does. God sees into the future, and he provides ahead of time that when you get to that place in your future, you will find out that God has already been there, has already prepared everything that you need for your arrival. But you just don't know. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings of God, including his providence, are falling on you. Things that you cannot do for yourself, God will do for you. But what do? You just stay right. You just stay righteous. And God will make sure that his purposes are accomplished in your life. Have your heads bowed. Actually, there's two things you need to do. You need to stay right. You need to love God. Those things activate and keep you on the right path. And even though the path seems to wander, even though the path seems crooked, rest assured, when you look back, you'll see that God led you every step of the way. every step. He'll arrange it so that you meet the people that you need to meet. He'll arrange it so you're at the church service you need to be at. He'll arrange it so you're at the seminars you need to be at. He'll arrange it so that you have the right relationships you need to have. You just stay right. I don't know about you, but to me that is so freeing. So freeing. I can't possibly predict and make every right decision in my life. I can't do it. But if I trust God, He'll help me. He'll make it happen. That's providence. How many here today would say, by a raised hand, Lord, I want the blessing of your providence, and I purpose to stay right and to love you. Could God see your hand? Up and then down. Amen. Amen.